Tonight then, brethren, let us return to that passage we read in Genesis chapter 35. Our text will be found there in the last verse, Genesis chapter 35, and reading verse 29 for our text. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. And seeking God's blessing, we want to meditate upon these words in context this evening. We're going to draw our short series on Isaac to an end with this sermon. We don't have much fresh biblical data that we can draw from to finish our series. We knew that when we began, because there's not an awful lot in the Bible concerning Isaac. The last time we looked at him, it was in chapter 27. There we looked at the decline of Isaac. For we noticed that Isaac was determined to pass on the blessing to Esau, his firstborn, against the express wish and will of God Almighty. But we know that by deception, Jacob got the blessing that was his by divine right. And we noticed, some might say, maybe unfairly, but we called it the decline of Isaac, because he was trusting upon his feelings, touch, and senses, instead of relying upon the word of the Lord. But from that time on, we don't have any fresh information regarding Isaac. Rebecca, we don't have much about her either. We know that from when Jacob, her son, was blessing his 12 sons before he died, he makes reference to the fact that Rebekah was buried in the same place as Abraham and Sarah and Isaac also, in the cave at Machpelah, which you will read towards the end of the book of Genesis. And as we said, after this incident that we looked at last time, at the blessing that was given to Jacob, Rebecca never saw Jacob again. She died. The Bible doesn't tell us how it happened or when it happened, but she died before her husband Isaac. So from verses 28 to what we read in chapter 35, there's nothing really that Isaac did at all of note that has been recorded for us in the scripture. So we go then from the decline of Isaac to the death of Isaac. But in actual fact, an awful lot of things did happen. Isaac's death is recorded here for us. But according to the commentators, from chapters 36 to 40 of Genesis, Isaac was alive during these events. His death is recorded in chapter 35. But by computing the things that are found in Genesis, he was alive during the time of Genesis chapter 36 to 40. Now, I did have a fairly complicated explanation of it, which I wasn't going to read to you, but I was going to offer it to you if you wanted to further develop it yourself. But basically, that complicated record and account ends by saying that Isaac was still alive just before his grandson Joseph was going to be elevated to become the second ruler in Egypt. Therefore, an awful lot of things happened from what we looked at last week, from when the blessing was given to Jacob, and then when Jacob went off to his uncle, an awful lot of things happened before Isaac finally died. And some maintain that it was 40 years after Jacob received the blessing that Isaac actually died. And during that 40 years, a number of things happened. Well, obviously, Jacob got married. Jacob had a family. He had 12 sons. And he also had that terrible incident when he was led to believe that Joseph was killed by a wild animal. We're not certain if he really believed his sons who give that explanation to him, but he had to accept it because he wasn't able to prove otherwise. So all of that time, Isaac was alive. And we do know that Rebekah died maybe 20 years after Jacob received the blessing. And maybe about that time, Jacob came back to see his father. For instance, if we look at Genesis chapter 31 and at verse 3, when Jacob fell out with Laban, he went back to his father. Genesis chapter 31 at verse 3, the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And that's what he did. And that would explain, if you noticed, that would explain from chapter 35 and verse 8, where we're told here, But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. That was Jacob's mother, Rebekah, who had a nurse, Deborah. Why was she traveling with Jacob? She was traveling with Jacob because Jacob took her on board. She would be a great help to him and his extended family. And while they were traveling, Deborah died and she was buried. So, there's some kind of background to help us to understand something of the activity of Isaac. During the last sort of 40 years of his life, nothing much is recorded of his actions at all. Only his death. But there are three lessons that we can learn from our text, which says Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Well, what are the three things that we can learn? Well, the first thing we can learn here is he knew reconciliation. He knew reconciliation between himself and Jacob. We go back to our lesson last week. We know that Isaac wanted to pass the blessing on to Esau. But by deception, Jacob got what God had for him. And therefore, there would have been some kind of strain in that relationship. Jacob then went to Paddan Aram to get a wife for himself, and he was away for a considerable amount of time. But he came back, as I've spoken to you in the introduction. He came back, and it's obvious that the relationship between his father and himself was restored. There was reconciliation. And maybe that was the providence of God. As we said in the introduction, a lot of things had happened to Jacob, his son. He had 12 children. He had 2 wives and 2 concubines. There was a lot of things going on in the life of Jacob. And Jacob would be able to say these things and to speak about these things to Isaac. And between the two of them, providence in some sense began to soften their hearts, as providence also often does. God works in mysterious ways. We know that God works through the preaching of his word. We know that his word can cut the heart. We know that the word can bring about repentance and conviction of sin and faith, and we delight in these things. But very often, friends, God works by providence. God works in the things that happens in our lives. And very often these things that happen in our lives will sometimes soften us and take off the hard edges that are upon us. And this is what happened here. He found reconciliation with his youngest son, Jacob. And it must have been a delight for him, especially after the death of his dear wife, Rebekah. He was lonely. And here was Jacob. He wasn't living too far away from him. And he was able to come and get alongside him. And no doubt he would have seen his family and his grandchildren. And it would have been a real tonic to Isaac in all his loneliness. And he would have had time to think. And the relationship was restored. There's a wonderful lesson here for us, friends. There are many verses in the Bible that we could quote to help us understand this. But what about Romans chapter 12, verse 18? Here's the Apostle Paul giving some instruction to the Romans after outlining his case for the gospel. He now applies the gospel truth to them in order that they might live out their lives under the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And he says in verse 18 of chapter 12, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Live peaceably with all men. Not just men in your house, not just men in your community or your neighborhood or in among your workforce or in your congregation, but all men. Christians should be above all peacemakers. Why? Because we know the peace of the gospel. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace is to work in us so that we will strive as best as we can, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. What does Paul say in the book of Hebrews? Again, a book full of profound doctrine. But in chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Again, we have another verse that we can quote. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. We can be prone to provoke one another. We have a mission to edify one another. And let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And the Lord Jesus Christ, let him have the last say on this topic of peace. In Matthew chapter 5, one of the Beatitudes. Matthew 5 verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This is something that should characterize and mark out the people of God. They are out for peace, but not peace at any cost. It's not compromise. No, no. But peace with all men. That's why we pray, for instance, for our leaders, or one of the reasons that we pray for those who have power and authority over us, that we might live peaceful lives, that the gospel might flourish. Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, Jacob and Isaac, they were reconciled, but there was more to it than that. Esau and Jacob were reconciled. We know what happened the last time that we looked at this. Esau was fuming. Esau was mad. Esau wanted to kill Jacob. That's the way he felt. And he said to himself, or he said it out loud because somebody heard him, and it was reported to Rebekah, "I'm going to kill my brother. The days of our mourning for my father will be over. And once they're over, I'm going to get him." But what do we find here? "And his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him." And notice, friends, and things like this are important in the Bible. Esau's name is spoken, written first. Esau is the firstborn. "And his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him." Their differences were put aside. We cannot say that Esau was there when Isaac died. We cannot say that. I'm convinced that Jacob was there when Isaac died. But when the time came for the burial, Esau was given prominence. He was the firstborn. And in natural order of things, he was given the prominence. There was real reconciliation. Not just between Jacob and his father, but between Jacob and Esau, the twin brothers. Again, we can only attribute this to the providence of God. Time is wonderful. We want things done instantly. But God is quite happy to move slowly, surely, through his providential workings of all things. And even the heart of the hardest and the bitterest enemy, by the providence of God, can be subdued. This must have been a source of great delight to old Isaac. Here he was, 180 years, the oldest of the patriarchs. And it would have been a real tonic and a real blessing to him after all that he had gone through to know that there was reconciliation in his family. We need to strive for this, friends. We need to do all that we can for reconciliation. Oh, we don't abandon principles. There are certain things we must hold on to. But we must seek peace and reconciliation. Well, what else can we see? Well, he lived a long life. He lived a long life. He was 180 years old. He lived longer than his father Abraham. And he lived longer than his son Jacob. What is the secret of old age and a good old life? Well, there's a general promise that is true in the Word of God. We find it in the law, the Ten Commandments. We're told here in verse 12, which we do believe is the fifth commandment, the beginning of the commandments given to order and direct our lives when we're dealing with one another. For the first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. But here, this is called the second table of the law, and it's the first commandment in the second table of the law. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now that's a general commandment. And that's generally true. Not always, it depends on the providence of God, it depends on the circumstances, but that holds good generally. If someone wants to live a long life, then they are to give honor to their father and their mother, and that includes more than just simply their natural parents, but all those who have authority over them, all those who have legitimate, lawful, God-given authority over them. If we are to honor those in their place, give to them the honor that is required in this commandment, then the promise shall be maintained ordinarily that you will know and experience a long life. And the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, when he is speaking to these Gentile Christians who had just become Christians, he tells the children of the congregation in Ephesus how they are to behave. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That is the first commandment in the second table of the law, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Well, as we've been looking at Isaac, did we not notice in his early years, when he was in the full strength of manhood, he was going to be offered up as a burnt offering? He could have resisted. He didn't. He obeyed his father. He didn't question his father. Maybe that, friends, is reflecting to us here why he had such a long life. Because he was one who did honor his father and his mother. We know that he was extremely close to Sarah. And Sarah was a powerful individual. And she shaped and formed Isaac. And there's no evidence that Isaac was in any sense disobedient to his parents. He honored them. And when Sarah went the way of all the earth, we know that Isaac took it somewhat bad, and he was lost and forlorn for some time, and Abraham knew this, and then Abraham took it upon himself to find a wife for him. And when that wife came, when Rebekah came, Isaac was delighted with the provision that his father had provided for him. You can see it there, friends, there was resignation to his mother and father. He recognized them and gave them the duty and the honor that belonged unto them. Well, nothing's changed. If we want to know a long life, then we are to honor those who deserve honor and respect. Some of us here now, our parents are no longer around, but that may not be the case. The promise and the commandment are still good. This is what God has said. Long life, as far as it will please him and his cause, will be given to those who honor their father and their mother and others who have authority over us. Well, the third thing we want to notice here is that he died. And he went, we're told, Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. We're not being uncharitable when we said last week that we felt that Isaac had somewhat declined spiritually. But it does seem as if he kind of maintained the momentum, and there's nothing notable to highlight in the scriptures from last week's point to where we find him this week. But he was a believer, and he was gathered unto his people. He went to where Abraham and Sarah and Rebekah were. He went to his people. And this is telling us clearly that he was ultimately saved. He was far from perfect, as indeed is all of us. Yet, he was brought to glory. And one day, he will be in the full manifestation of the kingdom of God, for he was gathered unto his people. This has relevance to ourselves, because when we pass into eternity, we will go to our people, whatever that people is. The minister's not a judge. If the minister's anything, he's a preacher. He's not a judge. But the truth is, we know, the Bible tells us that there are two places, and we will go to one of these two places when we pass into eternity. There is heaven, and this is what it's talking about here. When Isaac said he was gathered unto his people, he went to be with the Lord's people. That's where he went. They were his people. That's what he went to. But there's another place. It's a place called hell. And Peter, when they were discussing who was going to replace Judas, who had betrayed the Lord Jesus, he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 25, talking about Judas, that he might go to his own place. His own place. Now we know where that place was. It wasn't the same place as Isaac went to. It was another place. It was that place called hell. And therefore, the reality is, and the truth is, when the time will come for us to depart from this world, we will go to our own place. Where will you go? You can know. Where are you comfortable? Where is your home? What are the surroundings that you like to surround yourself with? Is it the people of God? Is it the Word of God? Is it the praise of God? Is it the worship of God? Is it the commandments of God? Is it a life devoted to the service of God? Isaac, with all his deficiencies, was one who could say that the Lord was his God, and he went unto his people. Judas, although he walked with the apostles, and although he acted like the apostles, and he preached like the apostles, and performed miracles like the apostles, ultimately went to his own place, because he was not converted. He was still a natural man. Isaac died. He gave up the ghost, and he was gathered unto his people. This will be the experience of every one of us. Today, friends, is the time to make our calling and election sure. Today is the time to truly embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and to be found in him, to have him as Lord and Savior. We can know it. You can know it. The preacher cannot know your heart, anyone else's heart, but you can know. You can know where your affections are. You can know where your interests are. And where your heart is, there will be your treasure. He was gathered unto his people. Our hope and our desire, friends, should be that we would be gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ. that he would truly be the one that we are following. The death of Isaac, he died believing. He died in faith. He died and went to be with the people of God. May that be our experience. Otherwise, it would be better that we were never born at all. Amen. And may God bless his word to us. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank thee indeed for thy word, and we thank thee that